special one-hour forum on Shape Places. It's a zoning ordinance package, referred Law 3, that Sioux Falls voters will be deciding coming up on April 8th. And we're joined by Jeff Schmidt of Sioux Falls Zoning and Planning, Dana Palmer of Save Your Neighborhood, and Greg Neitzert with a group called Forward Zoning, which is in favor of Shape Places. And Greg, I promised you a chance to respond to some of the comments previously. What are your thoughts?
Yes, Dana did bring up many points. First, under Shape Places, citizens will not lose input. They will still have public hearings. And as I said before, with a conditional rezone, they can attach any conditions they can today. Nothing changes in that regard. They will have input. As far as the size of the store and the hours of operation, under Shape Places, as I said, the commercial is tied to the size, so it's much more transparent what is going to go where, and you can have input as to what the zoning should be. As far as having input, there is a difference between not having input and just losing the argument. The Walmart may or may not pass. I don't take a position on that. But there's been plenty of input, and there would be plenty of input under Shape Places. Now, win or lose, you still had input. There is a distinction. As many of the other things that were brought up were really related to the Walmart, and I can get into that, but that's really a separate issue that I think you'll talk about on another day. So I want to be kind of careful about getting into that. But the big point is that Shape Places still preserves input, and you still can attach conditions. It's just at a different point in the process.
And we'll talk more with Jeff about that coming up. We want to get to some of your calls. 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Gail. You're on Kello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks so much for listening. What's on your mind? What's your question?
Shape Places, as reported, took a survey of 1,500 citizens for citizen input during their time of developing the Shape Places. And I know that there were a number of developers. I heard the number 27 one time. I just don't see how 1,500 people could be a voice for the entire city. Even in the Save Your Neighborhood group, they were able to get thousands of signatures on not one but two petitions. So I just want to know what the justification is for citizen input of only 1,500 people.
I guess I'll throw that open to anybody who wants to take it. Jeff, you spoke a little bit earlier about the process that took place, the meetings and so on. Maybe you can speak to that a little more.
Sure, I can. This is Jeff Schmidt, and we tried to make sure that we were given the facts. So 1,500 was the people that participated in the survey for Shape Sioux Falls, not for Shape Places. In Shape Places, we had 60 meetings of citizen groups. I don't know the 27. I don't know if I've ever used the word 27 for developers. But if you go out on the city's website at siouxfalls.org, you can look at these 60 meetings and find out where the meetings were at, when they were, who participated in them. So over 4 years, we had 60 meetings, and for Shape Sioux Falls, we had 1,500 people participate. The real answer to that is, with anything that you tried to do, especially in city government, trying to get citizens to come out and miss soccer practice and church choir and say, hey, can you come out and talk to us about zoning that doesn't affect your neighborhood but is all-encompassing and it's a 300-page document, people fall asleep and go, I'm not doing that at all. So we were ecstatic that we had 1,500 people 4 years ago, and we did 60 meetings.
336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Let's get to Max. Hi, Max. You're on Kello.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, Max.
I have a question on whether they're planning on moving the homeless shelter. And
what's your question, Max?
Well, that's a neighborhood, and there's a lot of kids walk to the pool.
I'm going to stop you there because I'm wondering how your question relates to Shape Places as we're talking about, Max. Because that, as far as that's concerned, that's a done issue, and it's been decided by the city council. So Shape Places hasn't impacted that at all because we're still working under existing zoning ordinance.
Okay. I guess I'll let you go at that.
All right. Thanks, Max. Let's... It is a little bit confusing. I know, folks, as we talk about this, and Greg, I think that's a point he was making earlier that under, you believe under Shape Places, that wouldn't have even been a debate, you're saying, because that center could not have been located on that property. It would have had to go to other property that would have been zoned for that kind of shelter.
Yes, a homeless shelter is not allowed in a commercial district under Shape Places, only in an institutional district. So they would have had to have tried to rezone that property if they wanted to go there or go somewhere else. A rezoning is far harder, and the burden falls on the developer or the builder, not the neighbors, to demonstrate why it should be rezoned. So that neighborhood wouldn't have been in the jeopardy that they found themselves in, where all they could get was a security management plan.
And what adds to that confusion is why this neighbor called Max. Because it was a conditional use hearing. So the neighbors all showed up to say, so this is our conditional use hearing for a homeless shelter. We don't want it.
Right.
And we go, you don't get to say yes or no. It's what conditions do you want to add to this homeless shelter? And they said, yeah, we hear you. We don't want it. We go, it's not yes or no. It's what conditions do you want? And they go, we don't want it. And you just sit there.
And that's the problem saying. And that's why Shape Places was designed.
Correct. And then this Max goes, yeah, but see, you don't understand. We don't want it next to our residential. We go, we understand you don't want a homeless shelter next. So would you rather have it not in this district? And they go, yeah, that's what we want. So that's what we tried to address with the new ordinance.
Well, then let's talk about that a little bit more, Jeff, because you're balancing, obviously, as a zoning official.
Yeah.
You're balancing the needs of the neighborhoods with the needs of business. You have, you know, and we'll take Dana as an example. You have people who bought property, residential property, who have certain expectations. Mm-hmm. You also have a business comes in and buys property that has certain expectations that I'm not going to go through a long and lengthy process, or I don't wish to go through a long and lengthy process where I may get torpedoed at any point throughout the process, mm-hmm. which is kind of how the conditional use permit
works.
Seems to me. Yeah. So how did you try to balance those two?
We listened to the neighbors. Because, and again, without trying to, I got to straddle this fence, Greg. The business owners are still sitting there going, I don't know if I like all these standards. I don't know if I want to have to zone it. They like the conditional use process because they like telling the neighbors generally, I'm going to really get skewered on this one. I can feel it. But the developers generally like to say, look, I can go out and show a really nice rendering and say, but neighbors, we'll talk about it later at the conditional use. And the citizens go, great, we get another shot at this, right? And they go, yep. And then they get to the conditional use. And then we go, but you don't have another opportunity because it's already approved. And they go, but we were told that we're going to look at the hours of operation. We're going to look at the landscaping. We're going to look at the lighting. And we go, no, you really don't get a chance. And then that's where the public goes, this is the worst thing we've... And that they scream at us and go, why are we here on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at a public hearing when we don't get to participate? We go, you were misled.
Let me ask about, as we talk about conditional use permits, under Shape Places, is there still a conditional use permit process at all? Or how does it change?
Yes, there is. There still is. But we had, as we continue to throw out these stupid numbers, 86, 208, there's 8 conditional uses. Everything else, we just made standards. So again, there's 8 of them in there for conditional uses. There's a bed and breakfast in a residential neighborhood, so where you can still put conditions. But they're still there. At the same time, there's these things, again, where we have to talk and educate the public, where it's a permitted special use, where if you meet all the requirements, you can build there. However, if you don't meet those standards, you can go to another public hearing in front of your neighbors and do a conditional use.
All right. That's Jeff Schmidt again with Sioux Falls City Planning and Zoning. It's 10:45 here at Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9. Dana, I want to get you back into the conversation because there's been a lot of information and thoughts here. What's your reaction?
Just a couple things. And, you know, without belaboring the whole homeless shelter thing, and I'm certainly not taking a position on that, but I think there's been this, message out there that had Shape Places not been referred, that the homeless shelter would not be in that neighborhood, which may or may not be the case. However, if under Shape Places a homeless shelter is inappropriate for that location, then it's inappropriate under any standards, and the city council should not have passed it. I mean, I can't imagine saying to the public, well, if a different law had been in effect, we couldn't have allowed it. But since that law is not in effect, we're going to allow a homeless shelter to be placed next to your single-family residential home. You know, that's an issue for the city council. And you can't place the blame on the folks who referred Shape Places. And as to the conditional use, again, without belaboring this point, the two major conditional uses that are no longer present are as to size and hours of operation. We are not talking about fencing. We're not talking about landscaping here. We're talking about two very, very significant issues, which are hours of operation and size. With this parcel of land zoned C4, we do not get to object to the size. They get to build a building of unlimited size, which in this case is 186,000 square foot building.
Greg Neitzert is with Forward Zoning that is in favor of Shape Places. But I could see your brain working there. You're jotting notes. What are you thinking, Greg?
There is no difference in Shape Places and the current ordinance when it comes to size and hours of operation. There's no change in the ordinance. And I should also point out, thinking back, and I don't recall a stipulation of size being added, I don't think, to any conditional use that I can ever remember or that anybody else can ever remember. You can only add conditions that you would generally add to other properties. I'm not even sure that's legal. But whether it's legal or not, I don't recall that ever happening. But let's say even if you can, Shape Places does not say you cannot add that stipulation. You would just do it at the conditional rezone. You would just ask for the same thing. There's no difference. As far as hours of operation, I think I can think of one time in the last several years where that's been done. And that is, from my understanding, legally dubious as well. There's been many court cases around the country that have challenged that, and that may or may not hold up. But let's say even if that's allowable, Shape Places says nothing about hours of operation in terms of you can't set it. You would just do it at the conditional rezone. The only difference is what hearing you would do it at, assuming you can do it at all.
Let's, I want to come back to Jeff Schmidt here with City Planning and Zoning because, Jeff, I saw you shaking your head at parts of that. As far as Shape Places, what about hours of operation and so on? How does it address that?
Right. It is confusing. So I wanted to try to clarify. It's not a conditional use for size or hours of operation. Dana was absolutely correct at the beginning. The conditional use, which I got to even step back through, it's a permitted special use for a store over 15,000 square feet. So on the property that she's questioning, you can build a store down there if it's below 15,000 square feet. If you want to go above 15,000...
And that would be no questions asked. Nope. You're within the code, boom,
which
you go.
I don't know if we've ever built a store commercially under 15,000 square feet. As someone told me the other day, their house is bigger than that. But so if you want to build a commercial building in C4 over 15,000 square feet, as you mentioned, then you bump to a conditional use. Okay, so now we're in a conditional use all of a sudden, and then you can put conditions on it, such as hours of operation and size. So it's not the conditional use isn't for hours. Those are the conditions you'd put on it. That's where it gets confusion. Now, what Greg mentioned, and this is what you'll think is just humorous. Okay, so if you did put conditions of hours on this store, let's say on the scooters, okay, and it's 11 o'clock, who do you think in City Hall works at 11 o'clock on Thursday night? Okay, so then we go, we have a condition here that you have to close, and it's 11:05. And so we're going to have to go out there as a zoning enforcement officer and go, excuse me, sir, it's 11:05. You need to shut down your store. And he's going to go, I'm just the assistant manager. I'm not shutting down. We're going, no, you really need to. No, I'm not going to. And so we do that 365 days a week, to, or worst case scenario, to the Hy-Vee at 186,000 square feet store, where they put a condition on the Hy-Vee and say, no, we want you to close that. And then it's just, how do you enforce that kind of stuff?
Which are complex, obviously. Do you run into that situation at all now? Those kinds of situations where you're doing that now under existing zoning?
No, because as Greg mentioned, the 400 conditional uses that we've done over the last, we just, it's yes or you just don't do it. I mean, if you can't, Understood. If you can't enforce it, why would you put something on the books that then the neighbors go, but see, you told us that you were going to, we tell them we're never going to be able to enforce that. If you want us to enforce that, Citizens of Sioux Falls, make it the standard. I mean, that's where we came back, go, then let's just say, commercial stores have to close at midnight. Don't say, you know what, you have to be open till 11, but you're 12 and then you're 10 and you're 1. Just say, you know what, commercial stores have to be closed at midnight. Just make it the law. That's easy.
Understood. All right, now back to Dana Palmer of Save Your Neighborhood. What I hear Jeff talking about in his last comment is trying to have a standard and something that so that everybody understands and then you don't run into all of those issues. Obviously, now for existing properties, that might be a little bit in existing neighborhoods. That's a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, it is problematic. Like I said, it's like you are changing the rules mid-game, especially for us when, you know, the comprehensive plan didn't come into effect until 2009 and then the shape places followed. You know, I think Jeff's example is just a little bit humorous. I mean, nobody's here talking about whether a store is closing 5 minutes later than it's supposed to. What we're talking about for hours of operation is a 24-hour super center. It doesn't come up very often, obviously, because there aren't very many 24-hour stores in Sioux Falls. Walmart and Hy-Vee's probably are, you know, two of the only examples I can think of. And so having a 24-hour store, within that close of proximity of these homes is problematic to us.
Greg, what's your reaction?
You do see these stores in other areas of town, 26th and Marion, for example, where houses are in somewhat proximity and you have some buffering. This is not unheard of. I hate to belabor the Walmart issue, but we could get into it. That area, that neighborhood was zoned RD when it was brought into town, which for most people wouldn't understand that.
That's I was just going to say, what's RD? To me, that means nothing.
RD is multifamily. Okay. And so the people in that neighborhood chose to build single-family homes there. That's, you know, that's a property, right? You're allowed to do that. That may or may not be wise. That Walmart is going to be 1,000 feet away from the closest house. There's going to be buffering around it. It's on an arterial. So, there's this thing that the neighbors, you know, went in there with certain expectations. They did build in an RD neighborhood. So,
well, the city allowed them to build in an RD neighborhood. You have to be permitted for one thing. So the city allowed it. And it wasn't these single family people that built. I mean, these are developers that go in and seize on the opportunity to say, well, I have this land. I don't really want to throw up twin homes or fourplexes. I want to build some single family homes. And they do that. And then they sell them. And then when you have people who do their due diligence, a friend of mine, he did his due diligence, went in and checked to see what could go there. And when he bought his home in 2008, that couldn't go there. So, you know, that is a problem. And you get the rug pulled out from under you when you build a home or you buy a home in an area that wasn't previously designated as high-intensity commercial.
But isn't the challenge there that you have business owners that do the same thing, that come in and buy property and feel like they get the rug pulled out from underneath them when they have to go through this conditional use permit process?
Look, as Jeff and Greg explained the conditional use permit process is not an onerous process. It does give the public input, but it's not onerous. Most of them end up on the consent agenda, from my understanding. It's not an onerous process. It hasn't kept anybody from building here. We have record building here. I don't think that, you know, I mean, you probably have an example, you know, up your sleeve of somebody that who said, you know, by God, there's a commercial conditional use permit process in Sioux Falls. I'm not going to build there. I find that very difficult to believe that anybody would think that going through the conditional use permit process would keep them from building in Sioux Falls, where we've seen record building over the last year.
Let's go back to Greg Neitzert with Forward Zoning. I think you still had some thoughts yet, Greg.
If I'm a chain looking for somewhere to come into town, and I'm looking at Fargo, Sioux City, Sioux Falls, and I find out that I can get going right away in Fargo, but it's going to take me 3 or 4 months in Sioux Falls, I may pick Fargo. So, yes, we have record building, but do you want to take the 5-mile route or the 2-mile route? You can always be more efficient.
Well, you should take the correct route, whether it's 2 or 5 miles.
Well, we are taking the correct route. Shape Places is going to make zoning matter. You'll know exactly what's going to go there.
You will now, but the people who existed and had their homes in this neighborhood prior to it didn't know. You talk about how this provides so much certainty and transparency. It doesn't provide certainty for the people who existed in those locations prior to this zoning ordinance coming into effect and going into effect, and that's a significant problem.
Without Shape Places, this property may become a Walmart. Shape Places has nothing to do with the certainty of that property or not. That is a totally separate argument.
It may become a Walmart, but at the same time, without Shape Places, there is no further public input. There are two remaining areas that we can discuss, which are so significant to us, which are size and hours of operation. Those areas, those issues may not be significant to many people, such as when you're trying to throw up a scooters and you want to be open until 11 p.m., but they're significant when you live across the street from a 186,000 square foot super center that wants to be open all night, that generates 6,500 cars a day. It's just, I mean, and to say that this is a major arterial, well, there is a vacant lot zone C4 right now at 69th in Minnesota. I don't think that anybody could envision a Walmart going up there. It's the same kind of street. It's the same kind of traffic. And, you know, you just have to look at the people who were there first. You have to protect the single-family residential neighborhoods. Our comprehensive plan says so, and it's the right thing to do.
I don't want to get us too far afield on the Walmart. And, Greg, I want to make sure you get a chance to complete your thoughts here.
Shape Places gives you more predictability, and you will know exactly what store will go where, because the zoning will make size matter. It doesn't today. And the last thing I would throw out there is, if the conditional use process is such the ace in the hole, why was the rezoning referred? Why didn't they just let the rezoning go through and go to the conditional use process if it's so wonderful and it's going to take care of the problem?
Because we obviously needed two bites at that apple.
Because they needed to stall and stall and stall because they're trying to get Walmart to give up. And Shape Places was a victim of circumstance.
Well, that's clearly not the case, and that's your opinion. Stall tactic is not our tactic. Our tactic is to have as many bites at this apple as we can get, because this is a very significant issue for the people who live in that area. You may not live there, but I do. I have to deal with the traffic, and it's not something I want to deal with for the rest of my life. I don't want my kids to deal with it. And the only reason we referred these two items were so that we could make some headway in having the city do the right thing for the neighbors that existed at that corner prior to these laws and this comprehensive plan going into effect.
We are out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. We've been joined at Jeff. I do want to just, Jeff Schmidt, just briefly, for people who want maybe to take a look at Shape Places. I know the city's got a lot of these resources online. What can they do to find it online?
At SiouxFalls.org, under the planning department, we have Shape Places, or just type in Shape Places at the SiouxFalls.org, and it has all the background information, the entire zoning ordinance, the map, and all the background material.
My thanks to Jeff Schmidt of Sioux Falls Planning and Zoning, Dana Palmer of Save Your Neighborhood, and Greg Neitzert of Forward Zoning.